I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles again to 1 Thessalonians, to chapter 1. We'll read from the first verse of the chapter. First Epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, and to chapter 1. I'm beginning our reading at the first verse. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you always, or for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men ye were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how we turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from wrath to come. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word again to our hearts. Let's unite together in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we come into thy presence today in our Saviour's precious name. We do thank thee for God's word to our hearts, and we thank thee for the love and the care that the apostle had in sending these instructions to the Thessalonian Christians and through them to us. And we pray, our God, that even as we think of the word of God today, as we come to consider what the instruction of God is to our hearts, we pray that thou wouldst give us teachable hearts and obedient wills as we enter into thy presence. Bless us now, we'd ask of thee, for it is in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, in the digital age in which we live, there are those that have become known as social influencers. And social influencers are those that operate on the social media like TikTok or like YouTube or like Instagram, things like that. And they have built up an audience. And because they have built up an audience, sometimes companies like cosmetic companies or music companies or toiletry companies or whatever it is, they will send them products that they review on their Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is, and they become influencers, and they companies have recognized that these are people who young people in particular will listen to, and they will influence them to buy the particular products that they want them to buy. Influencers are people who have a large audience and are have large followings, and therefore then they are able to reach a large group of people with their views, and particularly then with these products that they are given. And we have seen the power of that influence, particularly upon young people in this day. A good role model is something that is well worth having. It is good to have a good role model. But some of these social media influencers are not all good. For example, there is a man by the name of Bryce Hall, He is a social media star. He has 7.9 million followers on Instagram. He has 19.7 million followers on TikTok and 3.6 million subscribers on YouTube. But despite the major platform that he has been nothing short of problematic. He has been, to put it politely, gossiping. He has been charged with, arrested for drugs. He has been arrested in the midst of the pandemic for holding large parties and all the rest. He has been sued and charged and put into court. He has been charged with assault and battery and violence motivated by race. So not all of these influencers are a good influence. And we think of how he influences young followers. Now, many of them will deny that they are influencers. Charles Barkley was an American former basketball star, and he said, "I am not a role model." But he was, whether he liked it or not, because we all have an influence to those that are around about us. We all are an example in what we do and what we say, in the kind of life that we live. We are an influence for those that are around about us. And so it is good to be a good influence. And in this portion of Scripture, I wonder, did you notice the amount of times that it speaks about being imitators or being in samples? It speaks here about the church being an example, that Paul and Silvanus, they were examples or ensamples to the church. And then it speaks about the church itself, the Thessalonians, being examples to others. They were influencers in that day and generation in which they live. And Paul commends the Thessalonian Christians because they had been good examples. They had been role models to those around about them. And you know, we, if we're going to be good role models, I wonder what example we are setting. I wonder if everybody did what we did, would there be much outreach? Would there be much prayer? Would there be much interest in the Word of God? If everybody did what you did or what I did, would there be much obedience to God and to the things of God? So we need to be good role models. And we might think that we're not good role models at all, but we are. We are influencing others, and we're influencing those that are round about us. So for a few minutes this morning, I just want us to think about why Paul commends the Thessalonians as good role models in that day in which they lived. And the first reason why they are commended as good role models is their attention to the Word. Look at what we read in verse 6 here. It says of the Thessalonians, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." So they became followers or imitators of Paul and of the Lord, and they did so in that they received the word of God in much affliction. Now, you'll see there then that they imitated and they became followers and they became role models in the sense that they received the word. They listened to the preaching of the gospel. They had received the exposition of the Word of God, and they had received it as it is the truth. Now, that is something that I want you to notice here. We don't make Christians by making them cups of tea. We don't make Christians by coughing or seals at work, or even by masses or by confession boxes or by slogans or by campaigns or anything of that kind. We make Christians through the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that is verified if you turn over to Acts chapter 17. You'll see the way that the Thessalonians had come to know the Lord, how that Paul had opened and alleged the word of God. In other words, he had preached the word of God. And Paul is able to say to these Thessalonians, you received the word of the Lord. Now, I want you to think about the target of their reception. What was it that they are said to receive here? Well, when it says that they received the word, really what they are receiving in one sense is salvation. Because in the Bible, the receiving of the word is often synonymous. It's the same thing as being saved. For example, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 14, the word is used, or phrase is used this way. It says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. And what he means there that they received the word of God is that they had come to salvation. They had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And of course, that's the first thing that needs to be true of us. If we're going to be good examples or examples to those around about us, we need to have received the word in that we are saved by the grace of God. And we received the written word of God, but also the living word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the living word of God. And I hope that you have received him today, because this is the fundamental thing. If we're going to be examples, if we're going to be role models that are going to have an example that will reach into eternity and not just for time, then the first thing that needs to be true of us is that we're saved and washed in the precious blood of Christ. The Bible says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't have an example. You can't have a life that's pleasing to God if you've never received the word of salvation. If you're still in your sin, if you're still going down the road to a lost eternity, there's absolutely nothing that you can do that will please God. You're fundamentally against God. So that's the first thing. We need to receive the word in salvation. But then they had also received the word here in sanctification, because Paul was pleased to hear about their growth in grace. He was pleased to say that they were going on with God, that there was something of the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. And this was obviously evident to Timothy and to those that were around about, because he says that they had been examples, and he goes on, we'll see, to say that this word, or the example that they had, the news of it had been spread throughout the whole world, or throughout all of Greece anyway. It was something that was known to the Christians. There was a transformation that had taken place in their lives. And Paul was taking this to be mark of their salvation, that they had been transformed, that they were no longer what they once were, and there was the change that had taken place in their life. And so there was this example of godliness. Now I hope that there is an example of godliness in our lives. Do others, when they look at us, see that godliness and spirituality, that walk with God, that hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that desire for the word of God and for the preaching of the word of God? I hope today that there is that sanctification, that growth in grace. And so we see the target of their reception. But look at the tendency they had to reception. These people were commended because they wanted to hear the word of God. This was a mark of them that they had a desire to hear what God had to say. You remember what the Lord Jesus said? He said about my sheep, they hear my voice. And the sheep have ears that are attuned to the voice of God. And so it is about the people of God that we ought to have a desire to hear the word of God. But look at also the timing of their reception. They received this word in the midst of persecution. Look at what he says, that they received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. You remember what had been recorded of the church of Thessalonica or Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17, how that they had been attacked, how that the Jews had stirred up lewd fellows of the baser sort, as the Bible says. They had attacked the house of Jason, where the church was meeting, and there was much persecution. Paul goes on in chapter 3. He describes how the persecution had continued, because he says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to have left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and comfort you concerning the faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that you were appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you that before that ye should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know." So there was trouble, and there will always be trouble where the word of God is preached in faithfulness. The devil will be stirred up. The forces of hell will come against us, and there will be the tribulation and trials and afflictions that will take place. But there won't be just afflictions, but there will be joy, because he speaks here about the spiritual joy that they have as they suffer affliction. He says in verse 6, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy." Affliction with joy. We think of what Peter said, "Brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations." It seems a contradiction, doesn't it? And yet, deep down in the heart of the true child of God, there's a joy, there's a peace that we cannot take away. A peace that the world knows nothing about. You know, amongst young people today, there is an awful fit of depression, and there are so many students. Was it in Scotland? I think it was in Scotland this week. I'm pretty sure it's Scotland. They did a survey amongst the university pupils, and three quarters of these young people in the prime of life in university, supposed to be happy days, free days, all the rest of it, and they were depressed, they were down, suffering from mental illness of different sorts. And you know, the true child of God, we know joy. We have a peace that the world cannot take away, and we should be resting in that joy. I'm not saying that a child of God can't be depressed, because we can. But the reason why is that we've got our eyes off the Lord and of the things of the Lord. And it's very easy to do that, and very many of us will do that, and we get down and we get depressed. But it's only because we're not looking to the source of our joy, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is the first sign. This is the first thing that Paul commends these Thessalonians for. He commends them because of their attention to the word. But then he commends them again as good rulers, good role models, because of their announcement of the gospel. Look at verses 7 and 8. He says, "So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith, the God word, is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." So they had received the word of God, but now they had gone further. Not only had they received the word of God, but now they're going out to proclaim and announce the word of God to those that were round about them. And they were doing that in different ways. They were doing that in the way that they lived. Fellow believers in the church, they would come and they would see their fellow believers there in the church, and they would see them as they praised God, as they prayed, and that was an encouragement to those around them. They were being role models in proclaiming their adherence to Christ by their life. And child of God, people see you coming to church or not. People hear you praying or not. People will see that you're in your place or not. And you become a role model for one thing or for the other. You become a role model for those that want to skip church, or you become a role model for those who come along, and you're an encouragement to those that are round about or in the meetings. And I hope, dear friend, that we are good role models. We need to be role models in our business life, in our walk, in our conduct day by day. Are we walking, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week, are we walking with God? And I want you to see that these Christians were an effective witness, or an effective light, if you want to put it like that. You go around the coast, around County Down, you go maybe to Killyleagh, the Town Rock in Killyleagh, or to St. John's Point or Hourglass Harbour, and you'll see the lighthouses or the lights. And the lights there are pretty. You get them on calendars and people take pictures of them. But that's not why they're there. They're not there to be pretty. They're there to shine a light and to be a warning. And that's what the Lord Jesus said about us. He said that we are to be the light of the world. And we're not here to look pretty or to sit and to take things in, but we are to be a light in the midst of the world. And the purpose of the light is to shine. And the darker they are, the brighter is to be the light. And that's what happened with the Thessalonians. They were under persecution. And they were in a hard day, in a very dark day, as far as the work and witness there in Thessalonica was concerned. But they were bright lights in the middle of it. And that's what pleased Paul so much. He said, you're bright lights. You're preaching Christ, not only by your life, but by your lip. And we sometimes can speak about the life, but what about the lip? Are we speaking a word for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we telling others in the midst of the darkness of this world? One of the greatest joys that a Christian can have is to point another soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, to lead someone to Christ. And we need to know how to lead others to the Christ of God. And the Lord said to his people, or his disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And that's what we are to be. We are to be fishers of men. Why is it so important that we win others to Christ? Because their eternal welfare is at stake. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So it is a very important thing. We need to be effective lights, or effective witnesses in this day. But not only were they effective lights, but they were extensive lights. He says, ye were ensamples to all that believe. And then he mentions two places in Macedonia and Achaia. Now, Macedonia is up in the north of Greece, today beyond Greece. And still there, of course, Macedonia. I think the Northern Ireland women's football team are playing North Macedonia this week. So it's still there. Macedonia is up in the north. And then in the south, Achaia is the island, sort of island or isthmus that Athens is in. So you would say, from the north to the south, all of the land, everybody knows about the Thessalonians, all of the Christians and people all over the country. They knew about the Macedonians. He says further, but also in every place, your faith, the God word, is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. So not only in the north and south of Greece, but he now goes on, he widens it, but also everywhere your faith to God word is spread abroad. And you know, they thought of these Christians, or these the reputation of these Thessalonians had spread far and wide. There they were in an important town, but nevertheless, away up there in the north of the country, away from the capital, away from Athens in many ways, although Macedonia maybe was on its own in those days, but nevertheless, it's away from other places. But everybody knew of the faith of the Macedonians. I wonder how many know about our faith. I wonder how many know that we are the children of God. So they are commended here because of their attention to the word and their announcement of the word. But then they are good role models in their adoration to God. Look at verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So they had turned away from their false worship, and they had turned to serve the living and true God. Here is their adoration to God. They had turned away from the idols, from the superstitions of Greece at that time. Of course, there were stone idols in that day. There are other idols today, the idols of sport. People are always talking about sport and big money in sport. There's nothing wrong with sport if it's kept in its place, of course. But nevertheless, sometimes people make an idol out of sports or out of sports teams or whatever it is. We can make an idol out of sensuality, out of romance and so on, and relationships. We can make an idol out of that. We can make an idol out of music and musical tastes and the big stars of today and the celebrities of this day and generation. And today you go around and there are so many, and they're caught up in the music industry and the thought of music. But there are all sorts of idols that we can have. We need to get rid of our idols. We need to make sure that whatever it is, that the Lord Jesus Christ is first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the Thessalonians were good role models in that they had made a good start. They had settled in their own hearts that beginning, that the only one that was worth receiving their worship was the God of heaven. And it indicates here the depth of their desire after God, that they were going to put the Lord first. That the Lord, they would put everything to the test. Is this worthy of the Lord? Is this something that's glorifying to God? And that's the way that they lived their lives. He says here that you show what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols. But then they had turned from their idols to do what? To serve the living and the true God. They weren't simply Christians on the Lord's day, but they were serving God. And my friends, men, women today, are we serving God? Are we role models in our service? Maybe you are serving God more in times gone by than you do today. Maybe You are languishing in your faith and in your walk with God, and you're not serving God as once you did. You're not in the place of prayer. You're not praying to God. You're not witnessing for God. You're not working for God as once you did. Of course, the work of God cries out for laborers to be thrust forth into the harvest field. And we want laborers to be there. We want those that serve the Lord. But we need to be good role models. There was a small town, I think in America, and someone said about a Christian in that small town, that man never crosses my pathway without my being better for it. Can people say that of you or me? We never cross their pathway, but they're better for it. Another man remarked of the same man, you need only shake his hand to know that he's full of God. Good role model. What kind of role models are we? These men, these Thessalonians, were role models in their adoration to God. But then there were role models in something else, just briefly in closing, and that is their anticipation of Christ. Look at verse 10. He says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So they were looking for the return and waiting for and anticipating the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the blessed hope of the child of God. And I think in this day and generation, we've lost sight of that blessed hope. We don't operate and we don't live our lives in relationship and in light of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't, it's not foremost in our thoughts. It's not foremost in the way that we live our lives. But certainly for these Thessalonians and for the New Testament Christians, that is the way that they did live their lives. We read later on how Paul had to write to the Thessalonians. There were some of them that had died, probably had been martyred. And he had to write to them and to assure them. In that famous portion of Scripture, we sorrow not as those that are without hope. And he speaks to them how that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Because the Christians, they thought somehow that those that had died, they're going to miss out in some way. So he had to reassure them. But he had to do that because they were living in the light of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was foremost in their thoughts. And you know, when it was foremost in their thoughts, they realized that the one who was coming would be their judge. And they would stand before the bema seat, before the judgment seat of Christ, and give an account of the deeds done in their body. And when they lived in the light of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many things that they didn't do, and many things that they did do. But how about you today? Are you eagerly anticipating and waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does the return of Christ even enter into our minds day by day? Is our attitude like John, even so come, Lord Jesus? Oh, as we answer those questions, it reveals much about our spiritual condition and whether we are a church worthy of imitation. You know, in the Louvre in Paris, the famous museum and art gallery, there are displays of the master painters, men like Michelangelo and Rubens and Da Vinci and Van Meer, and so on. And since 1793, the Louvre allows artists to come in and to copy the masters. And there was one artist by the name of Amal Daguerre, and he had spent his life copying the masters, copying these paintings. And he was 63 years of age, and by this time he had been duplicating art in the Louvre for 30 years. And somebody asked him, "Are you still learning from copying these masters?" And this is what he said. He said, "If you're too satisfied with yourself, you can't improve." And that's something that we need to remember. If we're too satisfied with ourselves, we can't improve. Paul said here, instructed us to be imitators of God. In his first letter to the Thessalonians here, he commended the believers because they were becoming and imitating the Lord, and they were becoming an example to others. Like the Louvre copyist, we won't have perfection this side of heaven. But let's make sure that we live lives that are worthy of imitation. Are you a good role model? If others followed you, if everybody did what you did, how would the work of God go forward? Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we think of these Thessalonians and how they were in samples and how they were worthy to be imitated. O God, make us worthy to be imitated. O God, help us, Lord, to live lives that are an example to others, that others, when they look at us, will see something that is good, something that is worthy to be imitated. Bless thy word, our God. Write it upon our hearts. And be with us, our God, as we separate now one from the other. Be with us as we gather round thy word tonight. May thy grace and blessing, and may thy wonderful, rich grace be given to us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen.